is more interested in your holiness than in your happiness.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Thank you for joining us this evening for our broadcast of the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, In the Eye of the Storm. In the first part of the message aired last week, Pastor Grant showed us from John chapter 6 and Mark chapter 6 how Jesus arranged for his disciples to encounter a storm on the Sea of Galilee in order to teach them a faith lesson they had previously missed, and how even today, Jesus can allow storms of life to increase our dependence on God. This is the sixth message in Pastor Grant's series on the seven sign miracles recorded in John's Gospel, showing Jesus to be the Messiah, the chosen one of God, and the divinity of his person. We invite you to view the video of this entire message, as well as the previous messages, on our church website at www.gcafamilychurch.org. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Secondly, not only we can depend on him, as I said, because of his promises, but we can depend on him despite delays. I'm still on point number two. Storms increase our dependence on God. We can depend on him despite delays. If you look there in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 47, you'll notice that it tells you when evening came. And then eventually it tells you that he came walking of the fourth watch of the night. You see, here's the key. The disciples were rowing beginning in the evening, and Jesus saw them struggling, and he never went onto the fourth watch. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. These guys were rowing from evening. They were rowing, and they couldn't even make 3 miles. After all those hours, Jesus saw them struggling, and he did absolutely nothing, or so it seems. Jesus delayed rescuing them, but listen, he was watching and praying for them the whole time. Put this down in your notes. If Jesus puts you in a storm, he'll pray you through the storm. Amen? Amen. If Jesus puts you in a storm, he will pray you through the storm. So when you find yourself in the eye of the storm, cling to Jesus. Storms often reinforce spiritual lessons. Storms increase our dependence on God, but storms display the power of God. Storms can be so ferocious that sometimes they can discourage us. Oh, this is for real. Sometimes storms can discourage us. And some of you may have experienced that, where the storm was so ferocious that you were discouraged, because it's almost as if your jigsaw puzzle, all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of your life were scattered on the floor. And every time you try and put the puzzle back together, somebody seems to take away one of the pieces. You ever felt like that? You're struggling to put your life back together. And every time you try, the harder you try, it seems almost as if God is taking away the pieces. You're frustrated. These disciples were very frustrated because things were not going well. They were taking one step forward and two steps backward. The wind was blowing so adversely against them that it was pushing them back. The more they tried, the further back they were going. And these guys were frustrated and discouraged. So look at what happened here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 49. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. Uh-oh, they knew Jesus. Here they are in the eye of the storm. Jesus shows up, and these guys who know him so well, they thought he was a ghost. Why did they think he was a ghost? They thought he was a ghost because that's the last place they were expecting Jesus. They had no expectation that Jesus would have been there. You know, sometimes I may run into some of you, and I hope if it happens you don't kill me, because sometimes I'm accustomed to see you in church sitting at a special seat dressed a certain way, and then you go show up at the supermarket or at the mall, and I'm like, I think I've seen this face before. Has that ever happened to you? I think I've seen this face before. Then suddenly dawned on me, it's Daryl! And that's the issue here. Here they are. They think it's a ghost. This is the last place that they were expecting to see Jesus. Somehow they weren't even thinking of Jesus. In the middle of their drama, he was the furthest thing from their mind. And sometimes that's the problem. In the midst of the drama, Jesus is the furthest thing from our mind. They had forgotten to trust in the one with the power. Does that ever happen in real life? Does that ever happen in real life? We're in the middle of the storm. We forget to trust in the one who has all the power. And after watching for several hours, Jesus finally took action. Amen. The storm was going to be an opportunity for Jesus to give an amazing display of the power of God. Jesus not only walked on the stormy waves, but he stilled the storm. You notice that. You see, sometimes we read this account and we say this was the miracle of Jesus walking on the waves. Yes, it was a miracle of Jesus walking on the waves. It was a miracle of Jesus stilling the storm. Hallelujah, he can do that for us too. Amen. But there are two other major miracles that sometimes we overlook. If we look, hold your finger there in Mark. But if we look in the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse number 21, here's what John 6, 21 tells us. Then they willingly received him onto the boat. And what? Immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Oh, don't miss that miracle. Jesus was taken into the boat, and immediately they arrived safely at their destination without any more effort. Did you see that? Can he deal with your storm? Does he need your continual struggle? Can Jesus take you to shore? Can he land you safely? Immediately. The boat came to shore. What a mighty God we serve. But listen, jump with me to Matthew. Jump with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. You see, it's good to bring a Bible to GCA. Amen? Even though I help you out by putting some of the scriptures on the board. But it's good to bring a Bible to GCA. Because if you get to know GCA, God's message comes right from the book. You don't want to come to church and listen to a preacher just preach about what he thinks. You better make sure that what I'm saying comes from the book. And guess what? If I say stuff that's not from the book, you come talk to me. Say, Pastor, come on now. You strayed this morning. I'm serious. Hold the preacher accountable. If he strays, you better come. If it's not me, one of the brothers, say, Brother, I think you strayed. We had better preach what God has got to say. My opinion is no better than your opinion. And this is why when some of us pay so much attention to what the media say, or what the economist says, or what the professor says, I don't care what the professor says that I love higher education. But I am only interested when it comes to the person that I most want to hear from is what God has to say. And what does God's word say to us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command that me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. One of the mistakes that we make, we spend too much time on verse 30. I have heard message after message on verse 30, but in my life I've hardly heard a message on verse 20. water. Don't you dare miss that. Storms not only give us God the opportunity to demonstrate His power, but storms sometimes give us the opportunity to do unbelievable things. Peter, because of this storm, was walking on water. Why? Because only Peter had the faith to get out the boat. I was chewing on that last night and I said, God, please help us at GCA that we will be a bunch of Christians who will not die and say, God, I wish I had learned to get out the boat. Some Christians are stuck in the boat. And I'm here to tell you that faith in God sometimes means that you've got to get out the boat and put your trust in the living God, this God of awesome power. And there's some of you right now in drama. Some of you are going through some challenges in your life. And at this very moment in your drama, God is saying to you, come, come. And it's time for us to stop all of this idol and trust in the living God. And get out the boat and go to Jesus. And as you go to Jesus, don't do what Peter did. You see, Peter started off right. But I don't want us to only focus on verse 30, but it's instructive. Verse 30 is instructive. But verse 30, if that's all you want to do, you see, sometimes we want to do there because we only want to talk about the negative. But when you get out the boat, here's what you do. Keep your eye on Jesus. Amen.
Please stay tuned for the conclusion of the message. You are invited to join us at Germantown Christian Assembly for an Easter egg hunt on Saturday, March 31st at 11 a.m., rain or shine. All children ages 2 through 5th grade are welcome. The address is 605 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Mount Airy. Refreshments will be provided. For more information, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call the church office at 215-242-5550, that's 215-242-5550. And now, we return to Pastor Grant with the conclusion of today's message.
Because when you keep your eye on Jesus, the wind and the wave don't worry you so much, because the wind and the wave, they obey His will. Hallelujah. So what have we said so far? We've said storms often reinforce spiritual lessons. We've said storms increase our dependence on God. We're saying storms display the power of God. And finally, storms transfer our mind from earthly to heavenly things. Let's look at how this story started in John's Gospel, chapter 6. Oh, there was so much in this lesson. We could have gone on for a while. I had to cut it because there's so much in this account. But in John's Gospel, chapter 6, it's very instructive how it starts. Interesting, you read a passage of scripture, it's so short and there seems to be nothing there. And then then you find out there is so much there. But John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 15, it says, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to what? Come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Let's unpack this. After the miracle of the loaves, this was like the icing on the cake. Jesus had been doing so many miracles, but after they saw Jesus feed the 5,000, whether because it hearkened them back to what happened in the book of Exodus, as God took the people of Israel through the wilderness, as regardless of whatever the reasoning might be, these people realized or conjured up that this one was the Messiah that Moses prophesied. This was the prophet that Moses prophesied would come. And so they decided they were going to make him king. They were going to start a rebellion against the Roman government and make Jesus Christ king. It's interesting. Immediately, Jesus, as we read in Mark 6 and Matthew, Jesus immediately sent his disciples away. I don't want you to miss that. If you put the whole story together, you'll find out they decided to make Jesus king. And immediately they decided to make Jesus king, he sent his disciples away. Why would he do that? You see, it's important that we realize that the disciples believed that Jesus was planning to set up an earthly kingdom. You can imagine how excited they must have been that the crowd was planning to make it happen now. You can just imagine. I am using my sanctified imagination and imagining how they must have felt as they thought about the role they would play in the cabinet of the king. And so Jesus sent them away into a storm because Jesus wanted to make sure. You see, storms sometimes are sent to get us to transfer our minds from earthly things to the things of God. What's your area of weakness? In what area are you focusing on earthly things? Now, don't tell me you don't have any problem. Don't get super spiritual on me now. Sometimes the problem is that we're too me-focused. We're so self-absorbed that we have no time to make the things of God our priority. Is that your problem? It's about me. It's about my family. It's about I, me, myself, and I. As if me and I are not the same. But me, myself, and I. We're so focused on ourselves and our issues that the things of God often come secondary. But sometimes the problem is sinful pleasure. And one of the biggest challenges facing the Christian church is the issue of sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is raging in the Christian church today. Pornography and sex outside of marriage is now commonplace. It's no longer uncommon to hear about Christians who are shacking up. And I'm here to tell you, based on the authority of God's word, that God's standards have not changed. Things are so bad now that you have young ladies who are planning to get married and they find out the young man is addicted to pornography and it doesn't bother them because they say that's how things are today. Listen to me, teenager. Listen to the young person. If you're about to marry somebody addicted to pornography, don't be so desperate. You better make sure that the person has recovered and there is time since the recovery, because I guarantee you this is going to challenge your marriage in a more dramatic way than you ever expected. And I challenge you, young men and young women, if you're into pornography, I challenge you today, it's time to ask God to help you. And I said before, it's time to get an accountability partner to help you get over it. Here's what Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3 tells us. And I'm going to put it up on the overhead for you. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3. Here's what it says. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. In fact, read it with me. Let's start again. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind or of purity or of greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people. Listen, my friend, when we're living in sin, we can expect a storm to head our way. Did you hear what I said? When we're living in sin, you can expect a storm to be heading your way. For God promised, now this is a promise, God promised to discipline every child who walks in disobedience. Hebrews 12:6 says, whom he loves, he chastises. You know, I told you about Johnny Erickson Tada, but I thought I'd save this part until I was closing. Johnny Erickson Tada said that prior to her accident, she was saved, but living a very immoral life. And then she said, but the accident solved all that. You can take whatever you want to take from it. But I'm here to tell you, God sends a storm. I can choose the sin, but I don't choose the storm. Are you with me? I can choose the sin, but I don't choose the storm. May God help us this morning that we say, God, I'm done with sin and straying, Lord. You see, God is more interested in your holiness than in your happiness. Oh, that's something hard for us to grasp. Some Christians want to argue with this. But listen, God is more interested in your holiness than in your happiness. There is nothing in the Bible that says that God is committed to making you happy, but it does talk about Him committed to making you like Jesus. And listen, He's going to make it happen. If you belong to Jesus, you see, we talked about all about the fact that He's never going to let you go beyond your limit. Yeah, but listen, if you're a child of God, He's still going to pull out the strap. Amen. May God help us. May God help us to repent of anything that's distracting our focus, whether it is self-absorption, whether it is sin. May God help us to get rid of anything that's distracting our focus from the things of God. Don't wait for a storm. Aren't you glad that there's 1 John 1:9 in the book? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The story started with their minds on the things of the world. But let's put up Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 33 on the overhead to show how the story ended. It ended, the Bible says, then those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? It started off with them saying, whoa, what position can I get? It ended up with them worshiping, You are the Son of God. We worship You. Is that what you're doing? Is that what you're doing? Storms will bring us from focusing on our stuff, and they will bring us to focus on Him, our heavenly things, to worship Him. May God help us. That's where we are this morning. Those who are willing to worship Him. But I close with one last verse. And you're there with me in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 21. So let's read it as we bring this message to a close. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 21. And here's what it says. A simple little verse. Then they willingly received Him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land. Listen, miracles happen when we receive Jesus in the boat. Young man, young lady, older person, did you hear what I said? Miracles happen when we receive Jesus in the boat. Let me ask you, is Jesus in your boat? Is He in your life? Have you received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Is He in your boat? Miracles happen. And a miracle can happen in your life today, because this could be the day when you say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Come into my life. Do Your miracle in me. Will you do that? My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need Your forgiveness. Thank You that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for You from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, and remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.